Below Zero. Joining me in the studio this morning, we have Dr. Tracy Davis. She is a professor of psychology and sociology at Black Hawk College, also an author, and we're going to talk about her book called Dear Freshman. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. We had a chance to catch up before we sat down together this morning. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your career.
So I've been teaching at Black Hawk College for about 20 years now. I started at Black Hawk myself as a student right out of high school, and kind of went all over the place for college here and there. But for my bachelor's degree, went to the University of Minnesota. And then after that, decided to get a doctorate in clinical psychology. And then in 2016, the state decided to split psychology and sociology as disciplines. And so I wanted to continue to teach sociology, so I went back to school in order to be able to do that. So I love what I do. Every day working with students is absolutely amazing. I didn't train to do this job originally. I trained to do clinical psychology. And when I got back to the Quad Cities specifically, I had sent a cold letter basically saying, hey, I've got, you know, the credentials that you require for teaching. If you ever have a class that comes up, please let me know. And was called and said, you know, hey, would you like to teach a class for us? And once I got up in front of the classroom, I thought, this is really where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Glad everything worked out for you.
Yeah.
And you've written a book called Dear Freshman. This is based on the pandemic, what you learned, what you saw. And I loved the interview that you did with the Black Hawk College staff, the part where you were teaching and a young man was turned sideways and in his little box on the Zoom, and you stopped the class and said, hey, bud, everything okay? He said, oh, yeah, just did a duck blind with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So what a unique way to learn is what we learned through the pandemic.
Agreed, yeah. And everything, as everyone knows, I think everyone, you know, really tried to do the best learning they could through the pandemic, but everything changed so quickly. And it was really a challenge. It was a challenge for students, obviously, but faculty members who were at home teaching on Zoom also really struggled to try to figure out how to connect. We had never been put in that situation before, and I guess I had never realized how much just being in the same room while I was teaching changed the dynamic. And the first day I got back in the classroom with students, I felt like crying. It was so fantastic because there's an energy when you're in the same room with another person that you exchange back and forth. And although you can see them on Zoom or Teams or whatever, you know, your platform is, you just don't get that same energy exchange.
No, you're absolutely right. And boy, what a tough, challenging time for our whole world,
yeah.
Quite frankly. You as a psychologist, sociologist, yeah. what did you learn from that time that you want to share with people? What's been some key points now that we can reflect back?
So, you know, we saw, I think, what we see in the Midwest when we hit tough times. And this has been my whole life, but I saw this again. You know, I saw people hand-stitching masks when we didn't have any. So if people needed to go to the doctor's office or the store, they could at least have that in order to be able to protect them on the way. I saw folks really taking care of each other in a way that makes me really proud to be a Midwesterner specifically, but also as a part of the community, trying to figure out, you know, what is my place? How do I still take care of folks if I'm supposed to be staying home? You know, where do I come down on the politics of it? Because that was the other thing. I mean, we had huge conversations about, you know, should people vaccinate? Should they mask? And you got to see expressions of interpersonal relationships in all of those choices.
Sure. It was an interesting time. And for students, you've been able to capture some of this energy, some of what you've learned and seen, and been able to develop this into a book and get some really good, positive feedback from your colleagues, which was a great way to start to see if, did others feel this? Did others see this? Is this a good, helpful guide to college students? Tell us all about the book.
So you know, like you said, I had a student in a duck blind, and that was hilarious because I had never taught to a duck blind before. I made sure, by the way, the ducks couldn't hear me. I didn't want to get in the way. But he was, you know, he was very gracious, and he said, you know, I didn't want to miss class, but this is the last year I'm going to be able to be at the opening day with my dad because, you know, next year I'm going to be away, and we've been doing this for a really long time, and I love that. You know, I love that, trying to be a student, but also trying to be, you know, a functional part of a family member that's sort of honoring this thing that they've done together for years. And so I sat down after that class was over, and I opened up a Word document, and I just wrote Dear Freshman at the top. And it was just an expression of everything I saw them losing in the socialization process of school. And so I wrote for, you know, 5, 6, 7 pages, thought, well, that's interesting. I may post that at the end of a syllabus somewhere, but, you know, as a, you know, just if, in case people are interested. But then I woke up the next morning and thought, you know what, I forgot. I forgot this and this and this. And so I just kept writing. And I didn't tell anyone I was writing it for a long time because I wasn't sure if anyone would want to read it or if they would think it was valuable. So then when I was finally done with it, I sent it to 2 colleagues, one colleague who I knew would be kind about it no matter whether or not she liked it, and the other colleague who I knew would tell me if it was awful. Like, she's good at tough feedback, and I knew that she would give that to me. And they both said, I want this in the hands of every freshman. We need to figure out how to get it there. And it was so nice because I think it'll, you know, for a lot of situations, faculty members will talk about the stuff in the hallways, but we don't necessarily make it formal. You know, we don't tell students, here's how to send a formal email to a faculty member if you are trying to communicate with them. And so they may come in without some of the basic skills. After that, I told other people about the book, and then they read it. I got a lot of recommendations, like, you know, here are the top 5 things I think students need to know that they come in not knowing, even pre-pandemic. But now it's especially going to be, you know, different. And so I was able to add those as well.
Okay. And you can buy the book where?
It's available on Amazon, and you can get it either in a print copy or you can get it in an ebook. The ebook is significantly cheaper than the print copy, but also depending on how you like to read. I like it because I think the students, especially when they get it, they will keep it and then go back to it. So, for example, one of the things it says, you know, if you're going to go to the registrar's office, what do you need to take with you? And there's a list. So if they've got the book, then physically they can just flip back and say, okay, I'm going to the registrar's office. Here are the things I need to take. So it's a nice, you know, like a reference guide for those situations.
Okay. And we're talking with Dr. Tracy Davis. She is a professor of psychology and sociology with Black Hawk College and also an author of the book, Dear Freshman, available on Amazon. I see you have a page marked. Would you like to read an excerpt from your book to give people an idea about the book, Dear Freshman?
I was thinking that what I would do is I would take a look at the chapter that gives students all of the suggestions that I generally have to give them. So we've got some real tangible ways to make your freshman experience the best that it can be. This is based on a lot of recommendations from other faculty members, but also just watching some students come in, think, especially because it's a community college, I'm just going to be able to sail through this because I did fine in high school, and then you know, move in and lose either their whole first term or part of their first term, because the confidence is somewhat misplaced for some folks who really feel like they're going to do fine. So the first one is come prepared for class, which means, you know, come awake and aware, bring something to write notes with, but also bring the part of you that is going to put together enough questions to be able to challenge what the faculty member is saying. So when I first started at Black Hawk, some of the senior faculty members had taught during the 60s and the 70s. And I asked them, you know, what are the changes that you've seen in the students? And they said when they first started teaching, students would come in, they'd light up a cigarette, and then they would argue for 50 minutes. And now it's very passive. You know, like if you say something, I will go ahead and write it down. And so I tell the students, you know, the benefit of being awake and not on your phone while you're in class is that you get to argue with me a little bit if I say something ridiculous. And so they like that. They like the ability to do that. So reviewing books and notes, making sure that if we're going to be talking about something that's covered, let's say in chapter two today, that you've already taken a look at that. So you're familiar a little bit with the jargon or also, you know, just the basic pieces that are covered in that chapter. This is helpful because it allows your memory to be built in a deeper way for the stuff you've already covered. But also, you know, it allows you to take something from the book that doesn't really match up with what's being taught in class. And then just to ask in real time. So like, you know, in chapter two, I read this, but you're saying this. So those two things don't make sense to me together. And very often that opens a conversation with the rest of the class too. Because like I tell the students, if you're wondering it, most likely someone else is wondering it. So I just need you to be brave and I need you to, you know, ask the question that you have. Don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate is one of the hardest things for us all to do. We are driven by deadlines. And there are a lot of students who fool themselves into believing they work best on a hard deadline. So I've got a paper coming up. It's due in about 3 weeks. And yesterday I said, okay, raise your hand if you've started working on the paper. And they kind of all started looking at me sheepishly. And I'm like, I get it. For sure, I get it. But please don't wait till the last minute because, you know, computers go down. You know, your connection to the ability to find, you know, peer-reviewed journal articles, you know, might not work. So you want to make sure to get all of that stuff done early. And they kind of nod like, what a great idea. But I can tell that, you know, they've got 100 things to do between now and then. And, you know, it's just not necessarily fresh on their mind because it's not due tomorrow, you know. So
okay.
And then don't make excuses for poor planning. And that's for if you miss an assignment, but also if you're going to be absent. I tell the students, if I look out and I don't see them there, I kind of wonder if they're okay. There are a lot of students who are not used to or not comfortable with letting me know if something's going on with them. But honestly, it helps me to figure out, you know, do we need to help you catch up? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be missing, you know, a couple of weeks? And I tell them the story of a student I had several years ago. Fantastic student, you know, 100% on all of her stuff, always in class. And then she was gone for a week and I didn't hear from her. And so I saw her in the hallway, wasn't even on the way to my class. And I said, hey, are you doing okay? And she said, my dog died and I'm having a really hard time. And I said, okay. I said, well, you let me know if you need some help. I'm happy to help you catch up with the stuff that you've missed. And she said, she said that it's kind of surprises me. And I said, why? And she said, because some people are saying, you know, it's just a dog. And I said, oh, no, I don't. That's not a thing. Dogs are our family. Like, we, you know, we have to take care of them. And when they leave, we have to mourn them. And that takes time. And so we just have life events that sometimes get in the way of either attending class or doing assignments. And I tell the students, if you can, if you feel comfortable with your professor, just be honest about what's going on. Because a lot of times we can help you. You're probably not the first person to struggle in that way. And we've got some ideas. There's no reason for you to try to reinvent the wheel. We can help you figure out where it is. And then don't distance yourself from learning, making sure to engage yourself in the process. So I think sometimes, especially in the social sciences, what I see is I will say something to students that either their families don't believe or they don't believe, and they don't want to tell me they don't believe it because they don't feel maybe comfortable, you know, saying you're wrong. But there's benefit in that challenge, right? And I tell the students specifically in my classes, you know, what I want for you is I want for you to be able to walk out the doors and argue with someone else, not because you don't think they're good people, and not immediately to jump into some kind of slanderous, weird thing where you're just like, oh, you're dumb or you're, but like really to argue the ideas because we're bad at that. You know, we don't necessarily argue ideas. We sort of argue whether or not we agree with the other person as a person. And that's problematic, right? A good college education will ask you to challenge the things that you already believe. You'll keep some of those things. Because you will find the way that you defend that those things belong to you. But some of the other things will change. And I think that this is why some people get very anxious about sending their kids to college, because they're afraid that the kid that they get back might not be the same kid they sent off. But that's kind of the goal, you know, that they are able to take a look at the things that they believe and say, I believe this, and here's why. And it was challenged, and I still believe this, and here's why. And so they get to, you know, really engage in that kind of sort of cognitive exercise that makes them stronger.
Well, and you're the person that they are talking to.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, when a parent sends their student to college, they're mm-hmm. entrusting, they trust that the professor will have the students back mm-hmm. As well, and make sure that what you're teaching is in line with their values and ideals as well.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that's true. And with ever increasing frequency, I'm seeing students who will say, you know, what we talked about today in class doesn't really square with how I've been raised. And I'll say, okay, that's really good for you to know, first of all, to recognize that these things aren't necessarily. So, you know, let's talk about that. And they'll be like, well, I don't want you to talk me out of anything. Well, I'm not trying to talk you out of anything for sure. But if you look at a theory and it somehow bumps into a belief that you have, you know, figure out where that bumping is happening. Because again, on the other side, once you've asked yourself, you know, where these things are connecting, that belief is going to be stronger.
Okay. All right, Tracy, anything else you want to talk about this morning?
Just, you know, thank you to all of the students who've done all of the work, who've shared with me post-pandemic how they're feeling, and, you know, trusted us to kind of get them from where they were to where they were going. You know, my students work harder than I can possibly imagine, and that they share their experience with me continues to be the most wonderful thing for me. So just thank you to the students.
Okay. Well, congratulations on the book, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That is Dr. Tracy Davis with us, professor of psychology and sociology with Black Hawk College. It is 8:29.